We're continuing with our class, Judaism from head to toe, and we're going to move on from the mouth, even though we could go on and on and on. We're going to move on. So we're going to go down to the chest and then work our way out to the arm and tefillin. So let's begin maybe with the neckline. Women have laws of tzniut, laws of modesty. Laws of tzniut are composed of two criteria, okay? We have one criterion which is called devar ervo. What's considered something that's private to a woman that shouldn't be revealed? And there, we generally accept that the bones of the neckline, their dress shouldn't be open beyond that. If they're wearing a shirt, so it's supposed to come down to the wrist. Others say till the elbow, two opinions. It's definitely more modest that you come down to the wrist, but technically, so long as it reaches the elbow, that's also okay. And the skirt should go down, two opinions, whether till the knee or the ankle, two opinions of what shok is, meaning the Talmud says shok beisha erva, and there are two opinions of whether the shok is the thigh.
The bag,
I understand. Or the shok is, what's this called, the femur?
Shin.
Okay, two opinions of which, so the Mishnah Brura was more lenient. He said a skirt has to just cover the knees. Many other opinions, including the Chazon Ish, said a skirt has to come down to the ankle. So here we have the concept of erva. Seyar b'isha erva, women covering their hair. If a married woman has her hair uncovered, we have a problem making a blessing in her presence, but when necessary, we can be lenient. If possible, we close our eyes, we look the other way when we're going to make a blessing. But all of that is, we said, the first criterion for tzniut, erva, private parts that should be covered. Then we have a second criterion called dat yehudit, what's accepted by the Jewish people. And that's behavior also, and dress code. There are things that are accepted, that's the way a Jewish woman dresses. And that shifts a little bit with time. And that's called dat yehudit, that a husband can expect, that his wife, we say, kedat Moshe v'Yisrael, the norm, the accepted way of life among the Jewish people, that's also a norm and a halachic responsibility for the laws of modesty. Now, when it comes to men, so you want to make blessings with your chest bare, might not be nice, but it's mutar. It's permissible. When you stand in prayer, there you have to be dressed so that, like one who is standing before a king. What about laws of modesty for men? So, by men, we say erva, the part that's considered his private parts, are really limited to a fig leaf, right? A man's private part is just his male organ, basically. But that doesn't mean there aren't laws of modesty for men. There's just a different criteria, meaning the terminology of erva, the terminology of what's his private part for a man is far more constricted. But should a man be modest? Sure. Should a man wear sleeves coming down to here, to his wrist? Sure. That's a level of modesty. It's a good thing to do if you're going to die of heat. So you could say, I'm going to forgo that level of modesty. But by men, that amount of modesty is different because, again, our bodies are not as much of an erva. They're not as much considered an extension of our privacy as a woman. A woman's privacy extends to most of her body, and a man's privacy, we say, well, it's levels of piety. Once you've covered your private parts, everything else is levels of piety. There's a special halacha for prayer. You're supposed to stand respectfully, and that's why you shouldn't stand and pray in your shorts, or if you're going swimming and you're wearing only a bathing suit, you want to make a blessing, you want to eat an apple, you want to take a drink, you're allowed to, with the yarmulke on your head, of course. But if you want to pray, shmonais, you got to cover your chest. You got to stand the way you would in a respectful way to daven. But now we're going to move on to the hair on your chest. Okay? So the hair on your chest is a male thing. Meaning we have a mitzvah in the Torah, lo yilbash gevel simnat isha. A man may not wear a woman's garment. And our sages expanded that. They explained to us that it's not only about garments, it's also about certain behaviors. So if women shave their legs and shave their arm and shave their chest, that men may not do that. It's considered an act of feminism. It's a way of dressing like a woman. You know that it says in Shulchan Aruch that men are not supposed to stand in front of the mirror too long. You could make sure you're Mesudar, you're organized, you took a look, very good, on. But to stand there, you know, for like 10 minutes, making sure every hair is in its proper place, it says in the Ramon, Shulchan Aruch, that's the Yilvash Gever Simnati Shah. It says it in two places, actually. Also in the laws of Shabbos, they used to use their mirrors to cut their hairs. Their mirrors were made of sharp glass, so when they'd look in the mirror, if they didn't like the way the whisker was standing, they take the mirror, slice it, now the hair is better. In the laws of Shabbos, that's a concern. A guy is used to looking in the mirror and then using the mirror to cut his hairs. So there we have, that's why it shows up in the laws of Shabbos. And also in the laws of not dressing like a woman. So men cannot shave their arms, their legs, their armpits, their chest. These are considered acts of beautification that women do. Once we discuss the laws of not dressing like a woman, so let's quickly go through those laws in a nutshell. What happens if you have sweatpants at home? And your wife sometimes wears them as PJs, and you could wear them. So if they're pink, I guess they're women's sweatpants. But if they're black or gray or whatever, so who can tell the difference if they're men or women? If you have a coat, a green coat, sometimes your wife wears it, sometimes you wear it. That's okay. Who can tell the difference? That's things that you wear for warmth. So you want to go take out the garbage and suddenly see it's raining cats and dogs. You want to wear, you can't find your raincoat. You want to throw on your wife's raincoat. You can do that. You're doing it for warmth. That's okay. So, in the laws of not wearing women's garb, we have these leniencies. For warmth, I could put on her scarf or whatever. And we also said we have this extension of not behaving, not shaving parts of the body that only women would shave, or standing in front of the mirror. What other, I guess to put on nail polish would be a woman thing to do. Earrings nowadays, it's a good question, whether it's still a women's thing to do or enough men do it that you could say it's a men's thing to do. I don't know. But rings, you can't say rings are only a women's thing to do. Wearing a ring on your hand, that's not a problem, because there are enough men that do it that you can't say it's a woman's thing to do. Where else does this come up? So doing your eyebrows, right? We discussed this, right? So we did this. That's when we had the whole question of eyebrows. So we covered dressing like women, because we had a class on this. Now I'm remembering, and we discussed fixing your eyebrows. So those of you who want all details, we went into that there.
What about fashion? Like when fashion literally, it's fashionable to wear certain women clothing.
Could you explain a kilt?
A kilt?
If you live in Ireland.
I lived in Scotland. That I understand. It's men, women wear pants and men wear skirts. That I can understand. But in America, right now it's like let's say, like there was a change from like baggy jeans to skinny jeans.
For men or women?
For men. And only women would wear skinny jeans before that. And now it's like the norm. If you wear baggy jeans, you're frowned upon. And if you don't wear skinny jeans, it's like weird. So like, is that, what do you do when the culture literally changes in front of your eyes?
The Ran says that it depends on the location you live in. The Ran is discussing in the sixth chapter of Shabbos, where the Mishnayos and the Gemara discusses Loteitze Isha, the different jewelry of women that can or cannot be worn on Shabbat. And then, coming off of that, the Ran starts discussing what's considered male jewelry or female jewelry. When the Jews left Mitzrayim, so they were all wearing earrings. I don't know about all. Many of them were wearing earrings. How do we know? How do we know the Jews were wearing earrings? Right? When came time for the golden calf, so they couldn't get their wives' earrings, so it says they took off their own earrings to do the golden calf. It says the men took off their own earrings. You see, the men were wearing earrings. So the Ran says it depends on the social norm. Rabbi Kiva Eger on this siman in Shulchan Aruch says that it would seem that the social norm is defined by what the observant community is doing. Not by what you live in France and what the Frenchmen all around you are doing, but in the Jewish community it's not the norm. Says it would seem that you go by the norm of the Jewish community you're living in. So if a lot of the guys are wearing tight jeans, and that's considered the norm, so that's fine. So we did lo yilbash. The next thing we're going to have to discuss is tefillin. But I think we're going to pause, and tomorrow night, Bezrat Hashem, we'll move from the chest down to the arm, to the laws of how you buy tefillin, how you check tefillin, how you don tefillin. Please bring your tefillin to tomorrow night's class. We will go into that. And Bezrat Hashem, in the coming week or two, we will also have a trip to go and visit a tefillin factory. So, but tomorrow night, bring your tefillin, Bezrat Hashem, even though we don't don tefillin at night. We're concerned we might fall asleep with our tefillin on, so we don't wear them at night. But for practice, we can. So tomorrow night, Bezrat Hashem, bring your tefillin, and we will go over the laws of where and how to put on the tefillin. Say that tomorrow night.